So today for our sermon time, we're going to try a new kind of practice. We're going to experiment with the spiritual practice of Lectio Divina, which literally means spiritual reading. And in Lectio Divina, we read a text to become deeply familiar with it and allow it to reveal any spiritual messages that it might hold for us. So we're actually going to have four of us read a poem for you. It's called Fools by Reverend Lynn Ungar. And we're going to read it in our different voices. And after each time, there are going to be instructions on what to do around the poem to deepen our understanding of it. And I invite you to listen attentively each time. After our first reading, we're going to enjoy a time of silence to just let it sink in. Fools by Reverend Lynn Ungar. I'm looking for a few good fools. Not idiots, though. Lord knows those are thick on the ground. I mean proper fools. The court jester who speaks truth to the king. The tarot card fool who dances blithely, little dog at his heels on the edge of a cliff. Of course, the chasm is real and more dangerous than you can imagine. Famine and drought, corruption and greed, war and genocide, it's all there. Which is why I'm looking for fools. Fools who know how to juggle not just balls, but possibilities, who can keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft. Fools who step lightly, who dance because their feet are tired and there are rocks in the road. Fools who know that sometimes the only way to find a new path is by getting lost. I'm not saying the job is easy. Bumps and bruises are assured, and the pay is literally a joke. Still, the work is not without its rewards. The view from the cliff is extraordinary, and the company divine. Who doesn't want to journey in a cloud of laughter? And what on your full agenda is so much more important? You know you want to join the merry band. Here's your badge. Commence.
I'm looking for a few good fools. Not idiots, though Lord knows those are thick on the ground. I mean proper fools, the court jester who speaks truth to the king. The tarot card fool who dances blithely, little dog, at his heels on the edge of a cliff. Of course, the chasm is real and more dangerous than you can imagine. Famine and drought, corruption and greed, war and genocide, it's all there. Which is why I'm looking for fools. Fools who know how to juggle not just balls, but possibilities. Who can keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft. Fools who step lightly, who dance because their feet are tired and there are rocks on the road. Fools who know that sometimes the only way to find a new path is by getting lost. I'm not saying the job is easy, bumps and bruises are assured, and the pay is literally a joke. Still, the work is not without its rewards. The view from the cliff is extraordinary, and the company divine. Who doesn't want to journey in a cloud of laughter? And what on your full agenda is so much more important? You know you want to join the merry band. Here is your badge. Commence.
So I ask you now to name one word that stood out for you when you heard that poem just now. Just speak it out loud, popcorn style. Let's just hear one word from each of you, or anyone who wants to. What stood out for you in that poem?
Chasm.
Light.
Lost path.
Dance.
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 Commence.
Read.
Bounds. Juggling.
Joke.
Possibilities.
Wonderful. So on our next reading, I invite you to listen for a phrase, one to four words or so, that speak to you from the poem. Something that stands out, some phrase that stands out for you. Ani?
I'm looking for a few good fools. Not idiots, though Lord knows those are thick on the ground. I mean proper fools. The court jester who speaks truth to the king. The tarot card fool who dances blithely. The little dog at his heels on the edge of the cliff. Of course, the schism is real and more dangerous than you can imagine. Famine and drought, corruption and greed, war and genocide, it's all there, which is why I'm looking for fools. Fools who know how to juggle not just balls, but possibilities, who keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft. Fools who step lightly, who dance because their feet hurt and there are rocks on the road. Fools who know that sometimes the only way to find a new path is by getting lost. I'm not saying the job is easy. Bumps and bruises are assured, and the pay is literally a joke. Still, the work is not without its rewards. The view from the cliff is extraordinary, and the company is divine. Who doesn't want to journey in a cloud of laughter? And what, on your full agenda, is so much more important? You know you want to join the merry band. Here's your badge. Commence.
So what phrases stood out to you? Just share them out loud.
The only way
by finding a new path is by getting lost. And four of you said it at once.
Yeah.
Juggling incompatible ideas.
Dance because your feet are tired.
Dance because your feet are tired. Cloud of laughter.
The road is full of
bumps. Anything else?
Step lightly.
The view from the cliff is extraordinary.
Well, step lightly.
Step lightly. There's something back here.
Juggle not just balls, possibilities.
Juggle not just balls, possibilities. Great. Okay. Wonderful. So we're going to listen to it one more time with our court jester, Rick, reading the poem. And in a moment, we're going to look at how our understanding of the poem may have transformed by listening to it again and again, and what spiritual lessons we are gleaning from the poem. So listen to the poem this time with that in mind.
I'm looking for a few good fools, not idiots, though Lord knows there are thick on the ground. Veils are thick on the ground. I mean proper fools, the court jester who speaks the truth to the king, the tarot card fool who dances blithely, little dog at his heels on the edge of a cliff. Of course, the chasm is real and more dangerous than you could imagine. Famine and drought, corruption and greed, war and genocide, it's all there, which is why I'm looking for fools. Fools who know how to juggle not just balls, but possibilities, who can keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft. Fools who step lightly, who dance because their feet are tired and there are rocks in the road. Fools who know that sometimes the only way to find a new path is by getting lost. I'm not saying the job is easy. Bumps and bruises are assured, and the pay is literally a joke. Still, the work is not without its rewards. The view from the cliff is extraordinary, and the company divine. Who doesn't want to journey in a cloud of laughter? And what on your fool agenda, your full fool agenda, is so much more important? You know you want to join the merry band. Here's your badge. Commence.
So I invite you now to turn to one or two people near you and just talk about what you have gleaned from this poem, how the multiple readings have deepened your understanding of this, and maybe if there are any lessons or anything that you're taking away from listening to this poem. We're going to have a brief time of sharing, so go ahead and pair up or triple up. So if you'd bring your sharing to a close, it can continue during coffee hour, if you'd like. So what do you think? You want to join our merry band?
Yes.
I'll be really curious to hear during coffee hour what you've gleaned from this poem, and how your understanding may have shifted from the various readings, and what spiritual lessons, if any, you have taken from it. For my part, it can feel like we're that tarot card, the Fool. It's on the front of your order of service, if you want to remember that image, and here for us too. You can see him dancing. He's the one who dances blithely, little dog at his heels on the edge of a cliff. Now, every day these days, it seems that we are dancing on the edge of a cliff, doesn't it?
Yep.
And as our poet says, the edge of the chasm filled with horrors of famine and drought, corruption and greed, war and genocide. So, do we focus on the abyss or elsewhere? With a little dog yapping at our feet, in my case, I have an adorable, plucky little dog called Daisy who's always jumping up and going, feed me, feed me, feed me, so I really resonate with that. I think the Fool has an important lesson to teach us. He's looking up at the sun and the awe-inspiring mountains and skies, noticing the beauty of life, yet aware at all times that the chasm is just one step away. We need only listen to the daily news to remember that the abyss is all around us, don't we? Not to mention the tragedies and difficulties that arise in our own lives and the lives of our loved ones and our community. The abyss of financial stresses and taxes. Is anyone dealing with tax time? Yeah, just got mine done yesterday, just to the nick of time. The chasm of relationship disintegration, or job loss, or illness. Many amongst us are dealing with illness. Or perhaps the greatest abyss of all, the death of our loved ones. And these challenges are either with us now or just one step away. Which is why our poet is looking for fools, fools who know how to juggle not just balls, but possibilities, who can keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft. Imagine that. It actually takes tremendous courage and vision to keep looking up and dancing when one misstep could take you down into the crevasse. And it might seem like folly to keep incompatible ideas simultaneously aloft, but fools usually know how to juggle. And it also seems like that's what we're being called to do in these days of black and white, either-or thinking and division. These days of moral disintegration, of climate change, war, lies, and greed. We're being called to be creative, to hold many alternatives, other possibilities in the air to make it through, even while we teeter at the edge of the Madriguera del Conejo, and please forgive my Spanish pronunciation. Yes, my friends, the Conejo Valley actually does have many rabbit holes that we could fall into at any time. Notice that the fool also holds out a white rose, inviting us to smell it, to notice its delights, while he dances on the precipice. I have such admiration for those amongst us who can smell that rose and notice the beauty of life even while enduring pain or difficulty. To me, they look like Simone Biles, the amazing Olympic gymnast on the balance beam. Those who have the courage and delightful wisdom to keep looking up at the wondrous skies with poise and grace, even in the midst of difficulties, such as a cancer diagnosis or the death of a beloved, or acute financial stress. Those who can continue to balance, to dance, and somehow find a way to smile and smell the roses, or in our case, the lilies, in the midst of it all. And if you haven't smelled them, I suggest you come up afterwards because they're amazing. Thank you, Mary. It seems to me that the fools who can do that are actually the wise ones among us, the teachers who lead by the example of laughter and joy and delight. I think this poem is filled with hope. Even though the path of the fool comes with its own challenges, Lynn Ungar reminds us, I'm not saying the job is easy. Bumps and bruises are assured. But she promises us that traveling with extraordinary views in a cloud of laughter like we just did, with divine company like all of you, makes it worthwhile. Of course it is. Especially the more we can find that laughter, that infectious merriment we had earlier, and share it with each other. Now, Ungar speaks of two kinds of fools. In addition to the fool who dances on the edge of a cliff like this one, there's the court jester who speaks truth to the king. And this reminds me of Shakespeare's depiction of fools. Clowns or fools apparently appear in 22 of Shakespeare's 40 plays. And the fools are meant to be, they're meant to be a distraction from the weighty matters of the play, but also at times a vehicle for wisdom. And like Ungar, Shakespeare also depicts two types of fools. One is the wise truth-teller, who speaks truth to power. Now, from Shakespeare's pen, we see these wise truth-teller fools in the play As You Like It, in the form of Touchstone. He was Shakespeare's first fool and is quick-witted and an astute observer of human nature. And then in Twelfth Night, we meet the fool in Feste, who entertains and makes jokes, but also serves as a confidant to Olivia. And then, of course, in King Lear, Lear's fool, known only as Fool, is companion to the king and an embodiment of Lear's alter ego. Wise fools indeed. But the other type of fool is the natural fool, kind of like Rick is showing for us today. Born to entertain and bring lightness and comedy, as you might see depicted in the character of Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream. He is wild and outlandish. And Trinculo in The Tempest, who is an unabashed, unapologetic court jester with crazy antics. So whether through irreverent humor or bold, straight talk to the aristocracy, Shakespeare's fools speak outside exemplary morality or norms to draw barefaced attention to more important matters. Fools were often given a special dispensation from the king or queen to speak the truth that nobles could not. And both kinds of fools have their dramatic import and have their role in our lives. One gets to see life through a cloud of laughter and silliness, through the eyes of their merry band. And the other helps us see reality amidst folly and speaks truth to power. As Shakespeare famously said, "A fool thinks himself to be wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool." The spiritual lessons that I draw from Lynn Ungar's quest for fools, as well as Shakespeare's wise use of fools, is that we need them. We need both the serious take on life as well as the humorous, topsy-turvy, unconventional perspective, don't we? In the midst of all the challenging things going on in our country and the world right now, it might feel frivolous or inappropriate to be happy or attempt to bring levity to situations when things are so tough for so many. In fact, our default setting as Unitarian Universalists is to take on the difficulties of life very seriously, looking earnestly and diligently at life's inequities and struggles and what we can do. But what if we were also to bring some humor to our quest for justice? What if we were to engage one another by looking at the many difficulties around us in a cloud of laughter, like we just did? Now, my husband, for those of you who know them, you will realize this, he's wonderful at reminding me to take that irreverent perspective on life, to stay balanced in that way. Perhaps in the way that we might see late-night talk shows or the Saturday Night Live cast poke fun at the many difficult situations we face these days. We need only think of Alec Baldwin's irreverent portrayal of the president to help us find some relief and a different perspective on the daily broadcast from the Oval Office, right? Of course, I need hardly remind you of all the research that tells us that laughter is good for us. Like I mentioned earlier, it is said to strengthen our immune system, to reduce pain. So next time before you pop a painkiller, try the watching a laughter yoga meditation like I did all week this week. It can minimize stress, and it can lower blood pressure and lift our mood and allay depression, among other health benefits. Indeed, smiling and laughing more can increase our happiness and potentially even benefit our longevity. So that's worth a try, isn't it? So for me, inspired by fools, the spiritual lessons here are to remember to include more laughter and lightness, even amidst the many serious events of our lives. To bring humility and a willingness to poke fun at ourselves and life. In fact, we spoke this morning, all the people leading worship together, that mistakes were okay today. It doesn't matter. We'll just laugh about them. And also to revel in the delights of life, even while we stand at the precipice of many difficult matters. Because in doing so, my friends, in doing so, we bring more joy and light to the planet, which is a huge gift we can give at this difficult time. Are you with me? So I close with a quote by Mab Sigrist, a feminist writer, professor, and activist. Our job is to bring love, anger, and imagination to show where to go, and laughter to keep us alive while we get there. May it be so. I invite us now to rise in body or spirit and do as the spirit tells us to do.